Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. Okay, guys, what I also want to find out is the great thing about the film is that we were introduced to different women, different victims throughout. Mm-hmm. How did that come about? How did when the story was released, did more victims come forward and then want to be a part of the film? How did it work?
I mean, that's what's great is that Cecilia obviously sort of started off, it was almost like a relay race, you know, it's like the baton passing. You know, had Cecilia not have gone to the press, then Pernilla would never have been contacted by the press, because actually what happened was the VG journalists, they had gone through Cecilia's Amex and then they'd seen that flights were booked. And then for a load of other women, they got in touch with other women, and then one of them was Pernilla. So then it was them who then essentially sort of said, look, your mates now with this guy who is a, you know, fraudster. And then when the VG piece came out and sort of went viral, it was picked up, you know, over here by the Daily Mail and so on. And that's how we read about it, read about the story. Then Eileen was still in a relationship with him. So this VG piece had gone viral. Simon's face was obviously now all over the internet. And
yeah, exactly. That narcissist, you would have liked that, right?
Yeah. And then he was hiding out in Prague. But Eileen at that point thought he was hiding out in Prague because of his enemies, because she was still obviously wrapped up in the con. Yeah. And so then she was just like on her Instagram, and basically someone who she follows or something had been posted and Simon's face was there. She clicked on the thing and it was like the Tinder swindler. And she, as in the film, is like, what the fuck is this?
And then she took a flight, and the whole flight, she just read the whole article.
Yeah, she read the article and then basically knew that she was in, as she says, like a very powerful position. She was the only person that he, you know, had to help him at that point. And I think we had no idea actually about Eileen's story. We knew that he was arrested on a sort of fake ID, fake passport, but we didn't sort of know how that came about. So then when we first started talking to Eileen, who understandably was really cautious about going on camera, we were then just like, oh my God, this is the most amazing sort of finale for the film, the fact that she gets him.
Oh my God, it's amazing, yeah. Almost, because you want to wrap it up, and also from an audience point of view, you want to get the bastard.
Yeah,
like you really do. I suppose, Cecilia, was there a part of you when you find it, do you go into denial to begin with?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you must do, right?
Oh God, my body physically told me before I meant, like, it was such a weird thing. I think it's just like, as I said, when I talked to the Amex people, they said that it's so difficult to get a person that is being scammed to understand, because I think it's both of, you don't want to believe it and you're just so brainwashed to believe that you're scared, you know? So every person who contacts you, you get scared of them because you think they're going after you or that they're an enemy or, yeah, those kind of things. So I believe that's why, yeah, Eileen as well, you know, like 14 months with him, you can just imagine what that would have done.
Can you remind us, how much money did he take from you?
Me, like, it's accumulated to £244,000 now. So with interest and stuff, it's a lot of money. But at that point, it was £200,000 he managed to get.
And to anyone, you know, even when you're in debt, £2,000, £3,000, you know, £500, it doesn't matter. It's scary, let alone £200,000+. You know, at that point, and then you've got people turning up to your apartment, you've got bills coming through, you're scared. You don't know what's going on. Fear encompasses anyone. How do you deal with that fear?
I think you can see it in the documentary what happens to a lot of people, and that's what I mean why I think like economy and like having those difficulties with debt, like it shouldn't be life-threatening, shouldn't be something that you feel that you need to take your own, like your life is over, and a lot of people are doing that, you know. So I think that that's why I was so lucky that I had a good family, you know, and the fear that I had, like my mom just said to me, you relax, you take care of yourself and what you've been through in the scam from an emotional standpoint, and I'll handle the banks. Mm. I don't think I would have made it if I didn't have that. And that says a really? Lot, because I don't think I could have handled both, because it was just, the pressure was too much. Yeah, and that is the honest truth. So how do you deal with fear? Like my mom was so, like I had a tiger mom like her that just took all that on herself, because that was a battle that for a year she handled my finances, because I just needed to bring myself back up and then I could handle it afterwards.
We forget as individuals the butterfly effect these things have on families, friends, cousins, whoever it may be. You know, even though it happens to you, it flutters into everything else that goes on. Mm. And it sort of destroys individual, and this one individual is out there destroying people. You know, in the movie we see that he was in jail for 5 months, mm-hmm. and he was sentenced to 15 months. Mm-hmm. Are we not pissed off that he's still out there doing whatever he's doing?
Yeah, I've been pissed off since May 2018. I got told that they were going to silence him for me in 1 week in May 2018. We've been lied to a lot. So that's what I mean about trust. It's just trusting the system and trusting that things are going to, like, okay, we have all these evidence. Why didn't European police catch him in summer 2019? By letting him go to Israel, we lost him, kind of. We lost a golden opportunity. So he is free there. And we'll see if they incarcerate him again there for something he's done. But for us, I don't think that we can hope for any justice for us. And that is on the police, European police.
Felicity, have you've had exchanges with him, right? Mm. What do you think he, from your small exchange, what do you think he's like as an individual? Is he enjoying this? Or is he one of these people who's actually, he's like, damn, I've been caught? Because he seems like a narcissist from, he must be, right? So something like this, he would love.
I think you'd have to ask him.
Yeah, I know it's hard to speak for him. I get it.
I know. Yeah, he's enjoying this. So that's why I love that it didn't feature him in the trailer. Like, I love
he's
that. It's just, it's
be.
It's us that's taking him down. Like, I got a message from him, like, your lies made me a superstar.
Oh, no, that must have pissed you off so
No, I'm
much.
Laughing at him. He is a very sad individual. Yeah. I'm not trying to make him any bigger or... Mm. He's so sad. He has a very empty soul. He has no friends, no family. No one cares about him. He has no love. And that makes him very, very sad.
He sent you a message saying your lies made me a superstar.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So he's
I hate him.
He sent even more, and I'm just I just think it's, for me, like, I come such a long way that I don't let it, of course I was shaking when I got the messages, but I don't let it face me anymore. And I think it's, yeah,
I also just think if people watch the film, then you can make your own mind up about what you think about him. And I think the most amazing part of it for me, well, not the most amazing, but one of the most amazing parts of it, is we always wondered, you know, is Simon making his money legitimately? Because obviously he was obviously flying around on private jets, you know, spending so much more than just what the women that we've spoken to, even beyond Cecilia. But then obviously when you meet Eileen and when you see that he's like basically living like a homeless person in Prague, eating leftovers off people's plates in shopping malls because he has no money coming in, because he has no more women that he can basically meet, then, you know, that just shows sort of who he is at that point and what's making him the person that he is.
Yeah,
that,
he's left with his just bones, right? Left with that individual, which actually is nothing.
Yeah.
In a sense. He's surrounded all the time by this entourage. Mm. And we see, you know, Peter the bodyguard is very much a figure within the film. And he seems to have his business partner and these people. Who are these people? Do we know if they realize what's going on, or are they being tricked exactly the same as everybody else?
He is really smart. It's both, you know? So I think it's just for me, but I'm not going to, I know that we, but
yes, for, you think as well.
No, but I know that he's been using people unwillingly. It's people who, for example, just knew Simon as Simon Levive and then talked to me very fondly about him, how nice he is. And just because that, So they didn't know about the scam. So that's very sad. And there are some that was turned into victims. So I think there's like, I met a friend of his as well that we're going to talk more about it. That's in the podcast is coming. But it's like, I feel very sad for them. But there are a couple that I know is on it.
I mean, we know that.
The closest to him. So we know that is my opinion.
We know that he had, you know, a couple of personal assistants working for him. And they very much thought that they were working for a legitimate billionaire. You know, have said to us that, you know, they were also victims in it as well. And then if you think about the bodyguard, you know, if you're hired by a billionaire as a bodyguard, you sort of often you don't ask questions, I think. And I think that that's what he relies on a lot of the time is, you know, he'll start paying their salaries and then whatever, and they'll go along for the ride for a bit and just not ask the questions, even though they're maybe wondering. But, you know, we've got a podcast coming out and we spoke to the driver that picked Cecilia up in the Rolls Royce and took her home to go and get her stuff before she got on the private jet, you know, and he'd been working with Simon on and off and just hadn't asked the questions. You know, Simon had hired him to be his driver. And, you know, when he was meeting Cecilia, Simon was also meeting like loads of other women as well. And I think the driver, he's like, feels so bad, like really complicit, and actually he didn't have a clue.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't know.
It's really nice. Yeah. So
I guess there's this like aura of power with people that have that much money, and it's kind of intoxicating, I guess. Yeah. It like messes with people's heads and you don't want to question them because you believe that they are this, you know.
Yeah. And it's powerful. It's also just like sometimes it's bad taste to sort of press somebody on. I think that wealth is a really difficult thing to talk about with people.
Because you just assume, right? That's what you do.
Yeah,
you don't.
Seeing is believing.
Seeing is believing, right? Yeah. I listened to your podcast that is coming out. It's called You Can't Make This Up.
Yeah, it's called The Making of a Swindler, but it's part of You Can't Make This Up. Yeah.
In it, you speak to a guy who owns a security company, an international security company, and he explains very clearly. He says, look, people in this world are desperate for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get people like PAs or security guards or whatever it is, potentially they don't do their due diligence. And so what happens is that they just get hired because they need the work.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a potential that some of these people just didn't know what was going on either, which is kind of wild again that he was just conning everyone.
Yeah. And then that's the thing, you then, as Cecilia or anyone else who meets him, you then walk into like a sort of a movie set where Simon is basically running this fake reality. It's like the Truman Show. And you just don't ask the questions because there's no questions to be asked because it's all there.
But how often do you ask questions in your normal life? Like he walked into, you know, like hotels. Hello, Mr. Levi. Like it's not that.
No,
Are you Mr. Levi? Like it's just
you
weird.
Don't ask questions.
You don't.
No, you don't. Like, but do you think this will now start people questioning situations and actually flag up something which is important? Where you because what we've been doing, guys, for so long is we've been going on dates with strangers.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. But okay. I don't know. Yes, you do. I understand that. But what would happen back in the day is that you would meet someone in a restaurant, meet someone in a bar, meet someone in a nightclub, meet someone walking in the street, whatever it was. You would be attracted to them in whatever way. You would go up to them and ask them on a date. Yes, they're a stranger. But what then happens in our current situation is that you can Google them. You can go on their social media. You can, and now all of that could be fake.
Mm.
So we have an idea of this individual who's a stranger, potentially is not who they are, where back in the day we would never have that.
Yeah.
So it's now flagged a point, which we already knew, but made it more serious, that we really need to be careful about who we are dating. Or is that a really morbid way to look at things?
No, it's a difficult one to answer, I would say, because most of like it's a very specific case. I would say this is, I would have to say, I don't go on dates now, and I
hire a private investigator.
I am more in society that we have to understand, like for example, that we always believe that if you have, for example, a passport, I would believe that, for example, Simon wouldn't be able to be even in Europe because
he handed you his passport. Didn't
he,
at one point?
He did it very smart.
So he had a fake passport.
How
he had
so
a Simon Levive, and he was like, "Would you just mind holding my passport?"
Holding the passport. For several, and I was like, and I had the golden opportunity to then look through them, but I was like, oh, he's trying, like, I don't want to. But on that plane, there was never a Simon Levive. So if I would have just looked through those passports and the same flight, I could have said I'd seen that he had a fake passport.
Those tiny moments where you could have...
But that's like he's hiding in plain sight. It's like almost like he almost gets a joy out of doing that.
But what I mean is that I don't think we as people realize how easy it is to swindle. For example, when I gave him my card, I was like, I was so sure you're not going to be able to use this. You know, I've always been scared if I borrowed a car, you know, I shouldn't do that. But he could like go into all hotels all over the world using my card, Cecilia Fjellho. You give it to at the hotel and they check it and they just take it in. So I think it's like important for us to realize as well. Like you thought that he was using his card. Like when he was paying, you thought that he was using his card, but there isn't that many checks I thought it would be from. So I think as a society, I think just be more mindful of those kind of things.
But we've never sort of thought, oh, we want the film to make people think, gosh, you know, I shouldn't use dating apps. Like everyone, that's how everyone meets people now, pretty much.
Yeah,
like
one third of people or half of people, right?
You're really lucky if you're like chatted up in a bar now. I think that basically Tinder is kind of, he's using it as like a hunting ground.
But that description, hunting ground, it literally is.
He's just got, you know, women at his fingertips, and then they can do what you would do, what everyone does, which is just do a quick Google or a quick like look at their Instagram, which is what you do. Oh, he's got 100,000 followers. Oh, look at all of these pictures. Like he is who he says he is. And then that's usually where it ends.
He took £10 million, right, from his victims. Is that right? 10 million?
It's estimated, yeah.
Estimated 10 million. Can we understand why he's not in jail?
Yeah, I think that in the film, we describe it as almost the perfect crime. And it is, because you've got... So Simon did go to prison in Finland. He'd been doing this in Finland. He'd conned 3 Finnish women. And then obviously the Finnish police investigated it and were able to prosecute him because there were 3 victims in one country, like... That's great for a police force to have sort of, you know, that amount of evidence and 3 people. Whereas Simon, I think when he was in prison, he must maybe have thought, you know, what did I do wrong here?
Yeah.
How can I not get caught? And by meeting women across Europe, across the world, and sort of conning one woman in one place and swindling another in another place, then it's just really hard for the police when... You know, they've got so much work to do anyway to then
International
the laws, but surely there should, you know, is there such thing as a perfect crime?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, it's a crime, but maybe I'm being naive. No. I probably am, right?
I think swindling is just something that is not prioritized by the police, to be very honest. Mm. It seems that it was just so too easy in society for him to do it, like just with loans and credit cards and all these type of things, like fake passports that he could just use all over. Like, it's just so easy for him. And I was just like shocked how easy it was for him. And then, of course, when the police is like, fraud victims are not viewed as total victims. That is my own personal opinion, that the one main reason why the police didn't decide to go after him in summer 2019 is because of the way the victims were conned and the way it was done, to be very honest with you. That is my
I guess because there's no damage, inverted commas. Like, obviously, they don't look at the emotional stress. If they actually looked at that, then maybe, you know, they would go after him more. You know, it's just taking out loans. It's money that can be paid back, you know.
Yeah, Cecilia, can I ask you a personal question? Have you managed to date again?
Yeah.
You have?
You can see that in the documentary.
What I meant is be really in love.
No.
That's what I more mean. As in,
no.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about that with all these interviews. I was like, I've always been the one. It's like, oh, I've gone back out there and stuff. But I haven't been able to find. But I have been struggling a lot with my own personal fight with the system after all of this. So it hasn't been easy to actually open up. And I feel it's another burden you don't want to put on the person to go through with you, especially in a new relationship.
No. Vulnerability is the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
It really, truly is. So don't ever feel like you need to close off from anyone. No. And it's not a burden, not at all. It's actually, scars are interesting. They really are.
But you have another thing, like what I mean is that if I am on dating apps now, I have a past that people can look into if you Google me.
Great. Amazing. No, how like interesting.
Before. Yeah, for some. Yes.
True. Okay.
I have been deleted as well. After I give it my Instagram, I just get a delete. So I know that there's something that is not for everyone that they want to. They don't want that extra baggage. And I totally understand. It's not for everyone, but it is possibly possible.
Yeah.
But I think that's what's so amazing about you is that you are so vulnerable. And that was what was, you know, so just like I was just in awe when I met you. Like you really wear your heart on your sleeve. And I think that we just didn't want you to be closed off in your interview and not be the Cecilia who really believes in finding love and, you know, wanting to find the right person and being sort of bitter and cynical and, you know, they say, don't they, that sort of like regrets will totally break your heart. And I think that you just have an amazing kind of handle actually on this like life shattering thing that happened to you.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like we should
champion that. Because also I think what we forget, right, is we sit there at our home, we turn on Netflix and we watch something that's going to entertain us. Mm. And we actually forget sometimes that the people experiencing these things are individuals. Mm. And we go, well, that was entertaining. We're going to tell our friends about it. But this is your life. Right. And I saw a great article that someone wrote, which they said, we have to stop blaming the women. Mm-hmm. And that is so true. Right. You should never be blamed for something like that. And I can sense it on you that you, because I know you went through that bad before where people criticized you almost. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like seems like you're concerned that's going to happen again. But I don't think it ever will. And it shouldn't.
Well, there always is some, but I think I could see an interview by myself that I made back in 2019, and it's just a journey that you've been on, like how scarred, like I was like, you could hear in my voice, I was shaking and like how scared I was. And I think that you just found yourself in the situation you've been in and you've almost forgiven yourself, I have to say, because you have to, like you made a mistake, a very dire
wrong.
One.
Yeah. Stop. I know. Stop. You didn't do anything wrong. Yeah.
I know. But oh, I know. I didn't, but it's what I mean. Yeah, I hope you understand what I mean.
No, we totally understand.
It's just like, what I have to say, like, just forgive yourself for, like, I don't know. Like, it's just, I just need it for myself. It's just like, and to move on and put it in my past. And it's so much easier to talk about without, but for 2 days, I decided to. No, but I love that. I think I didn't want him to take that away from me, like that, the part that I really, like, we are caring. And he picked the victim based on that. As I said, he dated a lot of women. He put out a big wide web, you know, and then he just like see who he could caught. And then he went on some dates. And I then think he saw the kind of people that would do everything for him. Like friends like Pernilla and me and Eileen, you know, we would do that for him. Mm. And there are people that wouldn't, you know, and he knew that. And I think he's a good, like, okay, this girl, you know.
I always say that he chose his victims really well. Like,
yeah.
You know, sort of like kept himself in really lovely company. Mm-hmm. Sort of lucky him that actually, you know, the people that he got to love him were just really wonderful people.
Like me and Eileen are so similar. When I met her, it was like we had a dinner together in London and it was like, God, yeah, because she's so powerful, you know, in the documentary, because but she is very vulnerable well, like as a person. So when I got to know more about her, I was like, my God, you're so similar. Yeah, <that's, laughs> very similar as people.
But also, Felicity, you produced Don't Fuck With Cats.
I did.
Which, yeah,
I love that one.
That was,
oh,
but it was,
yeah.
Oh my God.
But it is so petrified. Great. It is so good.
Thank you.
That one, you know, we could go for a whole other podcast talking about that, but that was done in episodes.
Yeah.
And this one is done in a one go. It's mm-hmm. just one film.
Mm-hmm.
What was your reason behind wanting to do it that way?
I think that we knew that, you know, from my very first almost like, it's called a treatment. You basically write up how you're going to tell the story. I was like, the first act is Cecilia. The first act is like, let's live the love story with her. And I think had, you know, we spoke to other women. We also knew that getting people's sympathy with crimes like these, unfortunately, is hard. You know, you have to get them to sort of really sympathize with you and like walk in your shoes almost. And I think if you'd had sort of a number of other women talking about the same cons and the same, you know, you almost a bit, you're a bit more detached from it at that point. You know, I think investing in just a handful of characters, I felt that that was the best way to tell the story. And then, you know, we also never wanted Simon to be a big part of it. You know, and even if it had been a series, it's not like we would have had an episode dedicated to Simon. You know, we just wanted it to be your platform. But I think once we had, you know, the trio of you, we just knew that it was, yeah, a sort of a story that could unfold like a movie. And I think it's hard, isn't it? Because we, you know, obviously people talk about watching Netflix and people have written to us saying, I really enjoyed it. And I'm not sure if that's the words that I should say, that I enjoyed watching.
Yeah, people do get nervous. But you can hear when I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh God, can I say this? Can I not? You do, because you're worried about firstly upsetting you guys, or because it's not a film. It's true. It is a film, but it's true.
So many didn't think, asked us if we were like actresses, or asked if still is the story true.
That's because you were so great on camera. That's because you were so great on camera.
I was like congratulated for my role in the Tinder Swindler. I was like, what? Oh no, is it that bad? I was like, no, but I think that's what makes this, why I said it's like when people congratulate me, and maybe I shouldn't say that, but I was like, there's been so many sad parts about it, and I want to enjoy this, and I have to be able to be happy about it.
Yeah,
I don't understand, like, why should I be sad over something that finally something good is coming out of this?
But that was also what was great about the three of you, is that you are able to laugh about it, so that we knew that we could have fun in the film, and that they wouldn't be horrified.
For example, the marketing around this, I think, is super funny. These like till death do us part, all this kind of you're so beautiful, can I borrow £40,000? Like, I just like, oh, just have fun with it. I love it.
Yeah, but that what makes it as well, that the humor gets through, because you look back and you go, okay, this is just what a story, right, for you to tell. But Lizzie, with you, what is the interest with individuals, right? Where does that, because I'm sure that so many people wanted to get hold of the story and that you guys got it. But where does it come from, the interest in individuals?
I mean, I think everyone is interested in,
sure, they are,
like the juiciest stories ever. And that's essentially what you get to do as a documentary maker, is you sort of, you know, bury yourselves into their lives and get them to tell you everything and get to go through their whole WhatsApps, whatever. Okay. But, you know, this film would have never been made had it not have had sort of three, just, you know, there's a story there for sure, but you need them to be storytellers. And there's only so much that you can do as a filmmaker to sort of get people to be able to tell their story in a way that just sort of like blows your mind. You know, the interview was emotional for you, definitely, but it was also emotional for me sort of experiencing that with you. There was like a really funny moment where it's the moment where Cecilia's like ready to get him. And I sort of had a script, a kind of, I'd written out a script of questions and things. And so I said to Cecilia, so at this point, who was going to get him? She was like, I don't know who was going to get him. And I was like, you were going to get him, Cecilia. She's like, oh yeah, I was going to get him. And I was like, yes. And I think that's the thing, is that they don't realize almost the, like, just the kind of amazing action sort of heroes that you are in your own story, that we can obviously sort of help draw out.
It's amazing as a documentary that as you're making it, things are playing out as you go along. There's an amazing documentary which is called The Queen of Versailles, which is about the richest family in America, if anyone hasn't seen it, and it documents them, but throughout the process they lose everything. And this is sort of the other way around, which is about these victims, but then slowly we find out that actually he's at love, and actually we're going to get him. And that's why it's a film and it's a movie, because it has this somewhat of a happy ending.
Yeah. When we didn't have an ending, obviously, when we set out, because he hadn't gone to prison, we didn't know that he was going to get out and then be living his, you know, incredible Instagram lifestyle that he is now. So, you know, it's like, then how do you deal with that? Because obviously there is a happy ending at it, you know, and that, you know, Eileen manages to get him caught. They all manage to get him caught. But then, you know, it's so bittersweet, isn't it? Because right now he is seemingly living his best life again. And that's sort of why at the end we wanted it to sort of rest quite heavily with people at home, like, and for people to feel sort of outrage, like, how is that possible that, you know, he's just still the same, seemingly the same person, that he's back out there dating, that he's managed to find another girl to fall for him. But whether or not that lifestyle that he's living is even true, I don't know.
Yeah. Cecilia, you have a foundation as well that you've set up. Can you explain a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's just short. I'm from Norway, so that's where I know most of the system and how everything works. So it's based, I started up in Norway, and it's just about helping fraud victims, because when this happened to me, I was all alone. I think both Eileen and Pernilla had a very different, because they got like thrown into it. But for me, I was all by myself, didn't know what to do with banks. Mental support were none, you know. It was just really a lonesome experience. And it was after I connected with Pernilla that I was really seeing how awesome it is to actually have someone that has gone through the same thing talking to you about it. So the foundation is actually just to change the laws, change legislation, protect us better in Norway than what it has been and how I've seen it and felt it. And as well, give mental support, like the peer support that I can see is so important. You don't need a therapist all the time. You just need someone to listen and understand and say, I know how you're feeling. And this is what I did, for example, to get out of it. So that's the foundation. Like, that's the foundation of the foundation.
And what's it called?
Action Reaction.
Great. I love it.
It's because Simon had a saying that for every action, there's going to be a reaction. And then I was like,
God,
well,
what a douchebag.
We will see if I'll change the name. But that was what I felt back in 2019 that I wanted to call it. So, yeah.
And Felicity, anything for you? I'm sure you're now going to be inundated with different requests, different things. Are you just sort of sitting back now and just going, okay, that was a lot. Let's just see what's next.
I'm just so thrilled that obviously throughout the production, you're kind of saying to Cecilia, Pernilla and Eileen, like, I hope this is going to be big and I hope that it gets you the validation and I hope that, you know, that you feel the love like when it comes out. And that's obviously happened. So yeah, that's like the best thing ever.
It's so fun. Like, everyone from all over the world is like, we love you in Cuba. We love you in Colombia. Brazil loves you. And I'm like, yay, take me there.
This is a world tour.
Yeah, a world tour. It's very nice to feel all the love. It's been like, it's just warming my heart so much.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
Had some tough years. So
you been, and really, before really we go, but you're okay now.
I'm okay now.
That's
much
amazing.
Better now.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Very good.
Guys, listen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been an absolute dream. If you haven't seen The Tinder Swindler, go and check it out on Netflix. It's incredible. Guys, thank you so much for
thank
coming
you.
On.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Like spent.
Nerves are shot.
Oh my God, yeah. It's amazing that these are real people. It's not a it's not a film. It's real people this has happened to. And then also, as Sam, our producer, said, what's amazing is that one minute they have had the story, the next minute they're over Netflix, and overnight they're just known everywhere. Cecilia's known everywhere.
Intense. It's always a bit like doing reality, like a big reality show, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Netflix is global.
It's global. Don't tell me, man. I keep trying to get on it.
You know what you need to do? Just own up to some of those fraudulent times.
I hope you all enjoyed the episode. Also, go and check out our Patreon page where you can get way more content ad-free, plus a voicemail episode with my lovely friend Josh Roberts, where we talk about relationship anxieties and things like that. Plus, happy Valentine's Day for Monday.
Thank you. I'm going to be sat alone watching The Tinder Swindler on repeat, getting some tips on how to live the jet set life.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in once again. If you haven't slid into our DMs at Private Podcast, please do, with any questions, anything at all. We would love to hear from you, and also questions for our bonus episode, which is always on a Wednesday.
I wonder if any of our listeners have been frauded.
Yeah, if you have, let us know. Please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And any more questions, let us know at Private Podcast. All right, I'm going to go and relax because that was tough.
Should we go to Mykonos?
See you there.
See you on the dance floor.
See you on Wednesday. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.